President Trump is meeting with Republican leaders in Philadelphia today at their party retreat. Lots to talk about there, including Obamacare and taxes, but also foreign policy. And Trump made some news on that front last night. Speaking with ABC, the president was asked about his potential plans to suspend immigration from certain countries.
You're looking at people that come in many cases, in some cases, with evil intentions. I don't want that. They're ISIS. They're coming under false pretense. I don't want that. I'm going to be the president of a safe country. We have enough problems. Now, I'll absolutely do safe zones in Syria for the people. I think that Europe has made a tremendous mistake by allowing these millions of people to go into Germany and various other countries. And all you have to do is take a look. It's a disaster what's happening over there. I don't want that to happen here.
Now, you may have missed it, but did you hear him say safe zones? According to the Associated Press and other outlets, President Trump is expected to order the Pentagon and State Department to come up with a plan for setting up safe places within Syria for Syrian nationals. Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh is with us now with more on this. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jeremy.
So explain what a safe zone is. Is this just a rebranding of a no-fly zone, which Hillary Clinton had been in favor of?
Essentially, that's right. So, and much is, you know, undetermined at this point. This is a leaked draft of a proposal for a plan. But the idea would be that we would carve out a piece of Syria for ourselves and that we would protect it. Now, does that mean U.S. soldiers on the ground to protect those refugees? Does it mean U.S. warplanes flying overhead to prevent the Syrians from attacking them? Does it mean additional forces to protect the U.S. forces that are on the ground? Because obviously, that's a sweet target for ISIS. It's certainly a lot closer to hit them there than it is to hit the U.S. abroad. So lots of unanswered questions. But the idea is we would grab a piece of Syria, we would allow civilians to move to that area, and we would protect them.
Wouldn't it have to mean some of those things and more U.S. involvement in Syria? Because this is one of the reasons the Obama administration was not in favor of doing safe zones.
Well, it wasn't just the Obama administration. It was also the Pentagon. So it'll be interesting to see how they weigh in here. The reporting doesn't really identify who would be the provider. This might be aspirational more than anything else. Turkey has talked about doing that. It's done it in a limited way, but that's mostly along the Turkish border. I think it remains to be seen who would be the provider. But what strikes me about this is it's sort of the tail wagging the dog. We are letting U.S. immigration policy set and determine our Middle East policy. Normally, it's the other way around, right? You figure out what your national security interests are. You figure out who your friends and enemies are in the Middle East, and you come up with a strategy. We seem to be heading towards a safe zone strategy that's really a function of immigration policy.
Well, and it sounds like Russia is urging caution on this as well.
Well, of course, the Russians don't want the U.S. to put troops or grab a piece of Syrian territory. We'll have to see how the Syrians feel about that. The Russians say they weren't consulted. The Turks, who have been in favor of the concept for themselves, have been cautious about it. I would say this. If it were to happen, underline if, because it's a plan, you know, it's a draft of a possible plan, lots of steps here. But if it were to happen, it would represent a major change in U.S. foreign policy.
One more thing I want to ask you about, Jim, because you've been an expert on North Korea for a long time, and we've got some news that the highest-ranking defector in years yesterday spoke at a news conference in South Korea, and he said the days of the country's leader, Kim Jong-un, are numbered. What's going on there?
Well, my quick reaction to that is don't hold your breath. There's a history to this. In some of the projects I've run, research projects in North Korea, we interviewed defectors. That's sort of a sticky business, you know, especially if the defectors now work for the South Korean government. You know, what do you expect them to say up on the dais? They're going to say, you know, the end is nigh. So I take that with not a grain of salt, but a pound of salt. It seems that the sanctions may have had some impact on North Korea, but that hasn't slowed their missile tests. It hasn't slowed their nuclear development. So could be true. You know, academic scholars are terrible at predicting when collapse will happen. They're great at explaining it afterwards, terrible at predicting it. But I wouldn't rely on a defector to tell me when it was going to happen. We have a long history of that, and those proclamations have turned out wrong more often than right.
Do you expect that the changing relationship between the U.S. and China is going to hurt our ability to deal with North Korea?
Well, I've always said that there's no solving the North Korea issue unless China and the U.S. work from the same page. Now, obviously, Mr. Trump has several areas of disagreement. Will those bleed over and poison relations? That remains to be seen. But that is something worth watching.
That's here now, security analyst Jim Walsh, who is with the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you.